Well, this morning and for the next few weeks, the Holy Spirit is going to take center stage in the text from the book of Galatians. This is a little bit unusual in that we tend to spend more time talking about Jesus. We talk about God, and there's some folks that kind of believe that there's some reason for that, that the Holy Spirit is sort of the silent partner of the triune God. That the Holy Spirit with us, in us, around us, moves in a way that doesn't tend to draw attention to the Holy Spirit himself, but rather the Holy Spirit functions to point to God the Father and to point to the work of Jesus the Son. But what we're going to find today, I think, is that the reality of the Holy Spirit is very central to our experience of the Christian faith, which is about a relationship with the living God. And actually, I think as Paul, kind of the thoughtful lawyer type, Pharisee type, who has been hit with the reality of Jesus Christ, but still, he's still an arguer, he's still a reasoner. And this is what we see in his letters much of the time. What we're going to see is that the Holy Spirit actually plays an important role in our understanding of something of great importance and actually a solution to a problem that we've been experiencing, many of us, over the weeks as we've been looking at this book of Galatians, an intellectual problem, a moral problem, a dilemma that some have expressed to me as we've grappled with the text of Galatians. We hope that the reality of the Holy Spirit among us here in God's house on the Lord's Day will also help us understand, not just as part of the reasoning of Paul in the Scriptures, but also as the dynamic reality of God's presence here with us today. Shall we pray to that end? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here, and we pray that you would give us a sense of your presence here with us. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would bring your power to bear in our hearts and minds and lives here today. Lord, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you to pull back the curtain, to break through our natural defenses against the truth that is wonderful, but also threatens because it knocks us off balance. Lord, I invite that today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's our text. It's Galatians 5, 16 to 18. In my Bible, the little heading says, Life by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. We're going to ask a series of questions about this text today. You can see the questions in your bulletin. There's our outline. And the first question is the most important. Good marriage counselors can help you find it. Lawyers make big money locating it for their clients. Many a military campaign and political battle has been lost because the decision makers didn't know where it was. The real conflict. Knowing where the real conflict is of great importance. You know, you can keep mopping the floor in your battle against unwanted water in your kitchen. And you can mop and mop and mop and mop. And you can have what appear to be victories against the water time and time again. But it would be much better realizing that the real conflict is between that water and your roof, right? That what you need is to fix your leaky roof. And all the mopping in the world isn't going to help in an essential way. This is what it means to identify the real conflict. And for our purposes today, just to kind of give you a sneak peek of where we're going, we can spend our whole lives mopping our way through this conflict between law and sin. You can spend your whole life with mop in hand trying to be a good boy, trying to be a good girl. But that's not where the real conflict is. It'd be better to fix the leaky roof, to spend more time up on the roof, and maybe a little bit less time in the kitchen with your mop. Not that mopping is a bad thing. What is the real conflict? I've received a few concerned responses about things that I've been saying along the way, which I believe the text has been saying along the way about the book of Galatians. And if I've received a few actual in-my-face responses, my experience tells me that indicates that there's probably a whole lot more concern out there than just the few that are willing to come and tell me about it. Especially when people are saying, I don't know that that's right. When we're talking about the Bible, that's a very brave thing for a Christian to say on a Sunday morning after church. And the conflict has been, the difficulty has been, what are you talking about that we're not under the law? I mean, this idea Jesus plus nothing equals salvation, that sounds okay, but then when you say we're not under the law, it's not about the law, people have trouble with that. We all have trouble with that. Yeah, but are we supposed to ignore what is right? Do what is wrong? Contribute to the moral chaos? As Christians, aren't we supposed to be obeying God's commands? Paul helps us with this dilemma profoundly in these three verses of Galatians chapter 5 by showing us, I think, where the real conflict is. He helps us to get out of the kitchen with our mop and get up on the roof. We tend to think that the conflict is between the law, God's law, moral rightness, doing what is right, what is loving, what honors God, and sin. Doing what is wrong, what is harmful, what dishonors God. Paul shows us that this is not where the real conflict is. The central verse for our text today, verse 17, says this: "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want." Notice as just a little footnote here that Paul suggests that the ongoing conflict between the Spirit of God and our sinful nature means we do not do what we want. When we sin, when we do what we want in rebellion against God, we are not actually doing what we truly want. Sin always promises to deliver things we want and never does so. Never. All sin is absolutely foolish. But we are still in the process of finding this out for ourselves. The spirit and sinful nature are at war with one another. But the essential conflict is not between law, rules about what is right, and sin, doing wrong. The essential conflict is not between these things. What makes me say that? Well, Paul does something else very interesting in the two outer verses. This is very telling to me. Verse 16. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Okay, so on the one hand, living by the Spirit means we don't, when we're in the Spirit, when we're living by the Spirit, when we're in touch with the Spirit, when we're walking with the Spirit, which is what the word is literally in Greek, walking, which means living in, we are not gratifying the desires of the flesh, which are in conflict with God. Okay? But then, look what he says in verse 18. "But if you are led by the Spirit," walking in the Spirit, following as the Spirit leads, "you are not doing sin? No, no. You are not under the law. When Paul says what walking in the Spirit, what living in the Spirit of God is not, what it does not mean, he relates it both to the word sin and to the word law. Living under either of these, whichever way you're going with that pendulum, is not necessarily living in the Spirit. The real conflict, the one that matters, the bottom line battle in the world today, it's not the one between those two seductive images truck drivers put on their mud flaps. If you've never seen them, good for you. You need to drive more. And get stuck behind a truck sometime. You know, the one with the halo and the other with the horns, the angel and the devil. If you haven't seen them, good. It's not about how I'm doing on the good J versus the bad J scale. That's not the essential conflict. It's not the conflict measured by your level of virtue, all praise to you, or wickedness, with all due lack of respect and earned condemnation to you. The real conflict in which we find ourselves is not the suffocating restrictions of the law versus the poisoning invitations of sin. It is the holy and life-giving Spirit of God versus the dark and deadly spirit of evil that has invaded our world and our flesh. You could call this conflict light versus darkness, or life versus death. The essence of it seems to me, is captured in the notion of living by the Spirit of God. It's about that relationship with the real and true, holy, 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 life-giving, heavenly Father through His Spirit. The conflict is between the living God and not God, which I believe is the essence of evil. So the question isn't essentially, how good are you, or how bad am I, but who is your God? Is it God or not God? Am I living in relationship to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit or not? Idolatry. Worshipping something as God that is not. Some created thing, like money or pleasure or myself. That is the essence of the problem. And Paul says, get this right, and the halo and horns will take care of themselves. We only need one mud flap, and we need to know it has the living God all over it. Jesus got hit with all the mud this world can muster, and he washed it away for us. Jesus talked about something he called the unpardonable sin. He said it was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and following. This unpardonable sin, the one that Jesus himself mentioned, I think is related to this essential, real conflict. This unpardonable sin is not saying some sort of unspeakably nasty thing that God won't let us take back. I believe it is about this real conflict Paul is talking about with his friends in the Galatian churches. It is the result of a hard heart, maintaining that Jesus is, or is no better than, Satan. It is to believe his saving work is evil or worthless. It is a persistent, hardened heart, eternal denial of the Holy Spirit's essential work, pointing us to God, directing us to get in on the salvation Jesus has accomplished for us once and for all. The Holy Spirit says, this is truth. And the hardened heart spits blasphemy. You're a liar. The Holy Spirit says, Jesus died to save. And the hardened heart recoils. Not for me. The Holy Spirit says, glory to God. And the hardened heart scoffs, glory to not God. The Holy Spirit says, walk with me and know life eternal. And the hardened heart mocks, I prefer my sins and my laws. The Holy Spirit calls us to bow to the God of love, saying, "Thy will be done," and receiving heavenly grace. And the hardened heart rebels. I'll take my chances with hell. And God says, "Thy will be done." Someone can say he or she doesn't believe in God, but they will have something in their life to which they will give themselves: their time, their money, their efforts, above all else. That is their God. And that is idolatry. Such a person might prove to be quite good according to our laws and standards, but that isn't the issue. That isn't the real conflict. The question is, who is the Lord of my life today? The question, who is the Lord of the universe, has already been settled. But Lord of my life today is in the process of being answered today. And this is one of the benefits, I think, for us to understand what Paul is trying to get at here. Law, it's one and done. Guilty. Sin, it's a continual movement away from God. It's a decision for not God. But living in the Spirit is an ongoing dynamic. It isn't a one and done. It's a daily reality. You see, I can say I'm saved, done by Jesus, and my salvation is assured through faith in Him. But the question of how I'm walking, of how I'm living in the Spirit, as though God is real, as though I am relating in my life to God today or not. God can be the real God and I can be saved, but I can be living each day as though none of that mattered until pie in the sky by and by when I die. And maybe on my deathbed I'll pay attention, you see? But that's not the real conflict. The real conflict is, how am I related to God right now, today? Am I walking with Him in His Spirit or not? Next question, why are we naturally drawn both to sin and to law? Because we naturally want to make things, everything, about us. This is a problem that goes back to the Garden of Eden, by the way. We really want to occupy the center of the universe, or at least the center of our universe. But that is God's place. Sin is bad, harmful, alienating, destructive, deadly. But above all that, it is a denial of God. Did you know that? Again, I'm coming to terms with this in my own life. It is living as though not God was the truth. We sin because we don't know, love, and trust God as He deserves, and as we would do if we were wise. Which we are not. But law also provides a way for me and you to deny God. By the law, I can pretend to live apart from God, living without need of or reference to His Spirit. As I rack up the righteousness points I can present to Him sometime in the future when needed, I can present to Him my own goodness, what I've earned, and so what He owes me. Who needs to know, love, and trust God when they can live a not God life, knowing, loving, and trusting themselves, even as deeply religious people, trusting in their deep religiousness, as a lawkeeper extraordinaire? Do you see? And living by God's Spirit, law does and sin can serve positive purposes. When I am walking in God's Spirit, the reality of sin in the world and persistent clinging sin in my life is a constant reminder First of all, that God is God and I am not. God is holy and I am not. And in that, the reality of sin reminds me again and again and again that I absolutely, deeply need God. And law? Law becomes a helpful guideline, helping me to know how I can live in a way that pleases God. How it is that I can obey Him and so show my love to Him. Sin and law then become God's tools for positive purposes if I'm walking in His Spirit. Here's how Tim Keller says it in his Galatians commentary. The sinful nature is that within us which wants us to be our own Savior and Lord. The sinful nature heart functions under law. It rejects the free gift of Christ's righteousness and salvation and continues to seek its own. Therefore, the sin underneath all sins, the motive for our disobedience, is always a lack of trust in God's grace and goodness and a desire to protect and guard our own lives through self-salvation. That's where the real conflict is. Where is the battle taking place? Not essentially between us and sin or us and law, not really within ourselves as we grapple with the angel J and the devil J. The real battle is taking place between us and God. Paul says, live by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. The Spirit works in us and around us to bring us into an eternal love relationship with God. God the Father sent Jesus to rescue us. Jesus died so we could forever and now live in Him. So what's the problem? Well, who are the combatants? Us and God. We naturally resist God. Religion can be a way for us to resist God. As I say, this wanting to make it about us is a very prevalent problem. I'm coming to realize that it is the besetting sin of the human race. It is really, in many ways, the sin behind every other sin. I want it to be about me. Well, what? Anything. Everything. And here's one of the tricks. You've heard me say this before, but you'll hear me say it again because I think this is so important for church people like us. No sooner do we fall in love with God, no sooner does God's love get through to us, no sooner do we realize that the grace of God is for me, that Jesus died for me, that my salvation is secure because of Him, and I fall in love with this Savior who gave it all for me, none of which I deserved. No sooner do I believe that than the next moment, the little switch is getting turned. And what was all about Him is now becoming about me. My love for Jesus, my relationship to Him, very quickly becomes my theology. A theology, by the way, when I gather together with people who think kind of like I do, we will defend vehemently and think that we're protecting God the whole time. But you see what we've done? We've taken what is all about Him and we've made it about us. It's not God that matters anymore, but my understanding of God. It's not Jesus who saves that is the whole issue anymore, but it's my salvation, my faith. Do you see? It's very prevalent, and it is where the real battle is. Paul says, walk in the Spirit of God. And we say, no thanks, we'd rather walk in our own spirit. Thank you. The essential battle in the world today, behind every newspaper article, magazine expose that you read, every gossip column, every broken relationship, the essential battle behind all of that is between the people on this planet and the God who made this planet and keeps it spinning. So what do we do? Live by God's Spirit. Say yes to God in thought, word, and action each day. Know that when temptation comes, and you have it within you, God helping you to say no, what is essentially going on there is the goodness of God. And you saying to God, above everything else, I love you more. That's what's really going on in that moment. Not, I'm going to be a good person this time. Yeah, you'll be a good person this time, but that's not the point. Recognize how our sinful habits are at root our way of denying the God we find it hard to seek and trust and love and glorify. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us resist temptation and deliver us from evil. I heard that in a prayer one time. Know that Jesus Christ has died for us. We are justified, redeemed, saved, heaven-bound, entirely because of Him. Done. So stop our vain attempts to justify ourselves through our good behavior. Not because such behavior will score us points with God. Again, we can do all of this and think that we're going to score more points this way. Oh, now we're into the heavy point scoring. No, not because we score points with God by stopping justifying ourselves, because that's just another way of justifying ourselves. But stop our vain attempts to justify ourselves through our good behavior simply because we accept the truth that it's not about us. It's about the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To Him be the glory in my life. Last question. Okay. When can we claim victory in this real conflict? In the essential battle on planet Earth? When? You know the answer, right? There's two answers. They are now and not yet. And both are true. We can claim our victory now. Our destiny, our ultimate transformation, our in Christ status, our eternal life is safe and secure in the almighty hands of God because of the already completed work of Jesus Christ. Paul says elsewhere, you can read this in Philippians 1:6, that he is, quote, confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Done. But also, claiming victory is a matter of not yet. Let me read this quote from Ann Jervis in her Galatians commentary. Paul commands his readers to avoid gratifying the desires of the sinful nature by means not of law observance, but of living by the Spirit. Unlike philosophical and religious systems that advocate a rule of life that might gradually free people from enslavement to desire, Paul advocates human will in cooperation with the transforming work of the Spirit. We are in a process of cooperation with God's Holy Spirit. That's what we need to be doing. But it's a process. We're in process. None of us have figured this out entirely. None of us has reached that point of no need for any further transformation. Jesus is going to get us there. We're still on our way, right? So part of the answer of claiming victory is in Jesus, it's already happened. We claim victory now, and we claim victory not yet because it is still being worked out in our own experience. So let's keep going. Let's keep working. Let's keep trusting. Let's keep living by the Spirit of God, following His leading in our lives. And the sin stuff and the law stuff will take care of themselves. Paul seems to tell us that in these three powerful verses. Walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the sinful desires of your flesh. You won't do that because you'll want to love God more. You won't want to dishonor him and dishonor yourself, and you'll begin to see that all sin is stupid. And God will help us to see that we actually don't want to be stupid. We actually don't want to do, quote, what we want in sin, because it isn't what we want. Not really. And let's do all of this knowing where the real conflict is. It's on the roof. It's not in the kitchen. And knowing that there are battles ahead to fight, challenges in which we will need to trust our God more and more, but also aware that the final outcome is assured because of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. This gift of this new day that you have given to us. And Lord, we thank you once again for your powerful word that speaks truth into our hearts and minds and lives. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be about walking with you in your spirit. And more able to do so. More and more able to realize that it's not about being a lawkeeper or a sinner. It's about belonging to you. Which may mean obeying you better. All glory to you. And will certainly mean sinning less. All glory to you. But the real issue is about your love and that eternal love relationship that you have called me into, called us into, and made possible for us through the coming and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.